What's going on, people? This is Lecrae.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kel Mitchell.
Picky Wine is that would be me.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Brian Hooks.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Dr. Dorinda Clark Cole.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy, Kev, on stage.
Yo, what's up? This is Doug E. Fresh.
What up? It's DJ Emmy for that Breakfast Club.
What's up, everybody? It's Mr. Talkbox.
Hello there. This is Kim Burrell.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Cardi Cortez.
Well, hello there. I am Ja'Kalen Carr.
Good afternoon. It's Jess with the Mess.
Hey, everyone. This is Faith Jesse.
My name is Kid from Kid and Play.
Peace to the planet. Charlemagne the God here.
What's up, y'all? Las Vegas. It's Said Entertainer. I want you to download and tune into the greatest gospel station in the Las Vegas area.
It's the number one gospel station.
Number one gospel station.
Number one gospel radio.
Check it out. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go download Anointed Radio app.
From either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
For 24/7 gospel.
Make sure to check out their website at anointedradionetwork.com.
Music for the soul, music for your spirit, music to lift your heart.
That soul food for your body, that energy for your spirit.
Gospel in the morning, gospel for lunch, gospel at dinner, and then you go to sleep. You know what? Guess what? You're dreaming about some gospel.
Sometimes these are the songs that really uplift us and get us through some of the tough times.
Salute Pastor J. Calhoun and Anointed Radio.
Know your boy wouldn't steer you wrong. Go listen right now. You feel me?
Check them out without no doubt, because gospel is what it's all about.
Hey, 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 everybody. This is Pastor Jay, and we're going to start off in normal fashion. And normal fashion, like always, is going to be starting off with a prayer and a scripture. And the prayer we're coming out of is Colossians 3 and 13. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. There's some things that people don't know, but God has forgave you about that. There's some things that you didn't hear. There's some things that people, you don't show the real you, and God forgave you. And you get a hint of how some people act, and you act like you can't forgive them. It's time to have a heart after God and to be able to love our brothers and sisters. It says in 1 John that how can you hate the brothers and sisters you see and love a God that you can't see? God is of love. And if you don't have love, you don't know God. So you have to be able to understand that forgiving as a Christian. I know a lot of people think that being a Christian is to gossip. Being Christian is to go around and cause issues and drama. I know to spread chaos. We have got a lot of things that is not of God as traits placed on us, stigmas as Christians. But as Christians, we're supposed to be people of peace. Blessed be the peacemakers. We're supposed to be the people that love on somebody, show representation of hope by pointing people to Christ, by actually forgiving the people that do us wrong and ask for forgiveness, because we ain't always perfect either. So I hope that sits well with you, and I hope that you could think about somebody that you might need to forgive, and just do it tonight. Don't do it tomorrow. Do it soon. Don't sit on it. It's usually scary to forgive somebody because you think, oh, you know, what would they say? No, don't worry about it. Forgive them and move on. It's better to forgive than to hold on to that. Amen. Amen. So the first thing I want everybody to do is just say with me, forgive. It's going to be a powerful word for you in your future. Amen. Dear Father God, we just thank you for everything that you're doing. God, we heard your word. You said to forgive like you forgave us. So God, we just ask you to be able to put in our hearts a forgiving spirit, God, a forgiving mindset, to understand that everybody has their low moments, to remember that everybody has fallen, to remember that everybody's had a human moment. So God, we just ask you to be able to bless those that are struggling, that's being chained up of unforgiveness and wondering why their household is tore up, wondering why they can never establish real friendships. They're wondering why that they're so closed off. God, be able to let them be free so that they could be able to establish a bond with you without having any type of block or tie down chain or bondage, God. God, I ask you right now to bless everybody under the sound of my voice that's listening now or even in the podcast, that they could be able to get a revelation tonight of something from you, God. A new revelation to be able to help them, to encourage them, to build them up, and to be able to strengthen you guys' relationship. God, let us be able to reach the unreachable, teach the unteachable, and even touch somebody with the hardest hearts to just say, what can I do to be saved? God, we just ask you to enlarge the territory of Anointed Radio for us to be able to go to new airwaves, new cities, new countries, new broadcasts, new podcasts, be on people's lips to be able to talk about Anointed Radio being a representation, a good representation of you, Lord. So God, we ask you to be able to bring in your spirit tonight, Lord. God, we ask you to be able to just to show your presence for all the people that's going through, all the people that has been doubting, all the people that has thought you went somewhere else and have not been in their life. But God, I want you to show yourself tonight, Lord, so that something could be taken away where they could say, you know what, I heard something and I was on the edge, but I heard that and it encouraged me to rekindle my relationship with God. So God, I ask you to be able to bless everybody from the top of their head to the soles of their feet that are under the sound of my voice, that they could truly understand your will, your way, and their purpose, so that they could be able to truly live in the purpose that you have for their lives, that they could truly walk into the destiny that you have predestined for them when they were in their mother's womb. God, I just ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus to break every chain, to be able to free them from bondage and to free their minds from all turmoil that came from human hands, that came from human tongues, the people that have spoke over them. I declare and decree that they will be able to break away from every curse and word that was spoken over their life that was not lined up with your will. So God, I thank you. I give you all the glory and all the praise. And I say that all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 This is Pastor Jan, like always, I got something to say. What I got to say is this: you can follow me on all platforms. And you see the title Anointed Jalon, A-N-O-I-N-T-E-D, Jalon on all social media platforms. You can check out all my music, Pastor Jalon Calhoun, on all digital streaming music platforms. You can get the Jesus You Make Me Happy, Renew My Praise, My Team Reps Jesus, Slip Away, Wake Up Bless, and my new song that hit a million views, a million streams, which I give God all the glory, on SoundCloud. Spirit flows through me. My little EDM, not little, I'm going to stop saying that. See, that's me speaking again. My blessed track, Spirit Flows Through Me, on all digital platforms. EDM mixed with gospel to be able to get you up to dance just like David danced. Amen. So with that, we're going to go ahead and bring up my co-host. In absence, I have an absent sick and shut in list. I have Dr. Marvinetta Clay, everybody's Las Vegas favorite auntie. She's definitely busy today, so definitely keep her in prayer. And remember to go follow her and all her music, Fly Away, God So Good, Worship Forever. Definitely go check out Dr. Marvinetta Clay. Another person is Miss Simi. Miss Simi is doing the senior night working at CCSD. Definitely pray for all the CCSD employees because, you know, in Vegas, it's been crazy with the threats that we've had. So definitely pray over your babies, kiss your babies, and make sure that they know what to do in situations. But we pray for all of the CCSD employees, all of the campus monitors, cafeteria, bus drivers, and all of the parents and students that go to CCSD here in Las Vegas, because there's been a lot of stuff going on, threats to our children. And as a community, we've definitely have a concern. So let's pray before stuff happens. Every time something happens, we always say, oh, let's pray for them. Let's pray that it will not happen in Jesus' name. So definitely go check out Miss Simi So Real, one of the funniest ladies here in Las Vegas that do Christian comedy hosting. She has a stellar, y'all. Radio hosts here, does Christian hip hop hosting on another platform. Definitely go check out Simi So Real. And with that, we're going to go ahead and bring up my co-host that's here. We have the prophet of Anointed Radio, Prophet Tish Shear here. And then we have the lovely Brittany Marley. So where can they find you guys?
You can find me on social media at, let's see, on Instagram, you can find me as fervently.creations. You can also find me on Facebook as Tish Shear. You can find me on the Clubhouse streets as Prophetess Tish Shear. You can also check me out, www.fervently.creations.com. And if you want to see me, you want to meet me, come meet me in Atlanta, Georgia, June 2nd, June 4th for the Prisoner of War in the Mind Conference.
And you guys know where you can find me on Instagram at I Am Brittany Marley and on YouTube. Help me get that together. Also, let's see if I can get it right this week, y'all. You can check out my blog at BrittanyTalksBlog.blogspot.com.
Amen. She got it. Amen.
Got it. Got it.
Amen. Make sure you guys go follow. And while we're talking and have you in a graceful mood to follow, go ahead and follow Anointed Radio on all social media platforms at LV Anointed Radio, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Go follow us at all those different platforms to be able to see clips, to be able to go see updates and all those great things. And we got to get the bread and butter. Go download the Anointed Radio app, 24-hour gospel, uninterrupted, all day, every day. And you can be able to check out all of the podcasts that we've had, every episode since we've been doing podcasts. A lot of great episodes, a lot of great gems in it. I would just say binge watch it because you're going to learn something in every episode, all the way dating back to when we started doing podcasts, which was a while back. I don't remember the day exactly, but hey, go check it out. You will know the day because we talk about what date it was back then. So go check out Anointed Radio app on Apple and Google Play Store. And another thing is you could check us out on Roku. Check us out on Roku. Where if
you on a Fire Stick.
Soon on Fire Stick. Amen. To glory be to God. But today we is on Roku. And you can still watch us on the big screen TV, on your television, on the tube, where you can be able to watch all episodes. You can watch our now did their debut episode, Anointed Radio, Anointed Sports, where it's all Las Vegas updates with Mr. Benzel Washington. You remember him from the main show. He just came out with his first episode talking about all the latest Las Vegas sports updates. You can see Prophetess Tish, Feverly Creations, and Iron Sharpens Iron. You could check out, we have Christian movies, and I'm still looking out. I'm amazed how I'm giving out deals, y'all. Deals for Christian movie writers and playwriters that if you want to get your movie out there on a channel for free, hit me up. This is what God put on my heart. It's amazing. I'd be talking to God like, man, people just don't want it then because I would have charged you. That's me. That's Jaylon would have charged you. But God said to be able to bless the upcoming Christian filmmakers to give them a platform. So email us, lvanointedradio@gmail.com, and you could be able to get your movie out on Roku. We already got one movie. We're still trying to build up the collection. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and bring up the guests, a great, powerful man of God. He's a prophet, man after God's own heart, Mr. Prophet Brandon Van Horn.
Woo! Woo! Welcome.
Hello, 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 everyone.
Hello. So go ahead and get all the niceties out and tell everybody where they can follow you, you know, and every place, your websites, your links and all that good stuff.
So you can follow me on IG and Facebook at GodKeptMe09, or you can look me up by my name, Brandon Van Horn. You can also follow me at Unity Faith Fellowship on Facebook. And currently the website is under construction, but it is unityfaith.com.
Amen. We thank you for coming on today, and we're going to turn up, y'all. We got some prophets in the house. Amen. To God.
Like, you started off kind of strong with that topic of forgiveness. I was just like, oh, come on.
I don't know. It was a cloud of unforgiveness was just sitting over me like, okay, somebody dealing with that. But I'm not going to go ahead and try to pinpoint it. I'm just going to let it out. So, one thing.
I feel like he's talking about somebody on the show. I'm not going to pinpoint it. Right. What is it? Fix your face, sir. Fix your face.
I will. So we're going to go ahead and go into my favorite part of the show, and that's going to be going into our game led by the lovely Brittany Marley, everybody.
All right, y'all. We are taking it back to their favorite game. As always, this or that. Boop, boop. All right. Now, these are straight off the internet. So we'll see how good they are. It's not on me. If they're not interesting, just know that I screenshot them off the internet this time. So here we go. All right. Here we go. Fishing or kayaking?
Fishing.
Same. Kayaking.
Have you been kayaking before?
I've been canoeing. I would like to try new stuff. I'm a new person. Y'all don't understand. I'm from Alabama. My mama used to come pick me up from school with fishing poles hanging out the thing. It was so embarrassing. I'm not going fishing. That's childhood trauma. Kayaking. Take me kayaking.
You want to know what? I know this is supposed to be a speedy game, but you said that. You want to know what happened to me when I was young? So my dad likes fishing. Like, he would take us fishing all the time. And so it was me and my dad and my mom and my cousin, right? And child, when I say I was sitting behind him, he threw that thing back. And when I say the hook caught me right here, like right here. And you know how calm you are when something first happens. I'm like, I called his name. His name is Tavis. I was like, Tavis. And then when I couldn't get it out, y'all, I flipped. That's when I started screaming.
You had your first eyebrow frizzing. I was like, what?
Anyway, that's my story. I mean, bam. Okay, let's keep it moving.
Not broccoli. The first eyebrow piercing. I'm dead off.
Right. Very much so. Very much so. Broccoli or squash?
Broccoli. Steamed twice.
Added broccoli, cheese. That man-made vegetable, my brothers and sisters.
It is. What about you, Prophet? Broccoli or squash?
I'm going to say squash.
All right. Audio book or ebook?
Ebook.
I'm gonna say ebook.
Ebook.
All right. Fresh juice or a smoothie?
Smoothie.
Fresh juice.
Smoothie.
Tacos or burritos?
Burrito.
I'm gonna go with taco.
Put some burrito on my burrito, baby.
Some hot sauce on my burrito, baby.
Football or basketball?
Football.
I'm like football.
Roll Tide.
I think I guess I'm by myself. Basketball.
Pastor Jay, I saw that. That was very ungodly of you. For what? You to be a godly type man, to be a man of God.
The only person from Alabama. Never mind.
Ice cream in a cone or ice cream in a cup?
Ice cream in a cone.
Cup.
Cone.
I can take it either way. Cupcake or donuts?
Ooh.
Are we talking about Krispy Kreme donuts?
If that's your preference, cupcake or donuts.
And how many do we get?
One.
Yeah. I'm being kind of fat right now because I'm like, okay, if I was really hungry.
Yeah, like if I can only have one in a cupcake, but if I can have like a couple of Krispy Kreme donuts, like while the hot sign on.
One cupcake, one donut.
Oh, I guess I'll pick the cupcake.
Yeah,
you cut it in fours so you could trick yourself to see like you have.
That's just a lot. Just a few more. Chicken nuggets or chicken fingers?
Ew, chickens got fingers? No, I was playing. Chicken nuggets.
They do. They actually do have chicken fingers.
Chicken feet. Oh my gosh. That was my grandma's thing. Chicken feet.
With some lemon juice on it. It's a little bit of salt.
Two more. Yeah, two more because this is a lot. Iced coffee or hot tea?
Hot tea.
That's why I made a whole book sponsored by Creative Remedies.
Come on, right.
Hot tea. You right. can make your own.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm trying to find a good one. Let me see. Let me see. Last one.
Thank you, Forward Words, for producing my book. I had to get that sponsorship out there.
Amen. Amen. Snowball fight or water balloon fight?
Water gun.
See, I'm a Midwest kid, so I'm gonna have to go
water balloon. Balloon or snowball?
I'm a Midwest kid. Snowball.
Snowball. So,
the first time I ever had a snowball fight, a wolf came out the woods. So I was in Lake in the mountain, and it traumatized me. So I'm gonna go ahead and go with the water balloon. You ain't gotta worry about animals being your own backyard. Just bam. Yep. And snowballs actually get hard when you pat the snow together. So it actually is hard like a rock. So if it's not fresh snow and you hit somebody with it, you really could hurt somebody. I don't know how I would know that, but yeah.
You could do the same thing with a water balloon.
You're going to have to break that down. I lived in the projects. That water hole was just water. I don't know what kind of water you had. You had magical water that just froze. And then
another childhood story. Me and my brother went outside. And we had a good snowball fight. Everything was good until we thought it was a good idea to come in the house and run hot water on our hands.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and
horrible.
So snowball fights. Give me the water.
Horrible. You are not. Yeah.
Hey, girl.
Horrible. Uh-oh. And that is this or that. We are done with that game.
There was one more. I was counting. I was like, there was
right.
More.
You did say there was one more.
Did I say one more? Well, let's just end this. Not a this or that question, but I do want to know. Have y'all been paintballing before?
Yes.
Yes.
It's fun.
But I want to.
I've always wanted to, but I'm like, I feel like I'm just scared of getting hit because they say how painful it is. I'm just scared of getting hit. And then if you hit me, like if it's somebody I know and you hit me, okay, stop, I'm out. Like, don't keep going. Do you know what I'm saying?
So you gotta know how to layer up. I'm gonna give you the best piece of advice that no one gave me my first time. Know how to layer up. Know how to get your shots and hide very well and blend in.
Amen. Yeah.
But it's fun.
It's amazing. Matter of fact, Tish, we should do that at the conference.
Max, I want to go.
We can do that at conference. Prisoner in the War Mind Conference. Paintballing match. Saturday. Matter of fact, if you got beef, beat me on the paintball field.
That'd be fun. That would actually be fun. All right.
That sounds good for a prisoner of war in the mind retreat.
And New Orleans.
No, we can't do that in New Orleans. Can't do that in New Orleans.
Y'all going to stop making me feel great. I felt that. In my sha-na-na-na-na.
Look. Jay, I heard Miami with that, you know.
Oh, jet skis and paintball. End up in Cuba.
Y'all doing drive-bys with paintballs?
Sounds like
you better hope I'm not in the tree. I still got my camouflage.
Hey, man, so we're going to go ahead and go into the second part of the show, and that's going to be learning more about Prophetess Brandon Van Horn.
He's a troublemaker.
No, he's not. He's a man of God. And we're not going to say he's a troublemaker. Amen. He said watch. Anyway, so
just when you say that, be quiet.
So Prophet Brandon, where is your hometown and where do you reside now?
Chicago, Illinois is my hometown, Chi-Town. And I reside now in Newport News, Virginia.
Mm. I got some people out that way. Okay. So, one thing I would have to ask is this. What was the very first ministry you was a part of in church growing up?
first ministry that I was a part of growing up, ushering. I learned at an early age, I learned how to be, to have a service, to be a service to the people. Welcome Missionary Baptist Church, 9th Avenue, Phoenix, Illinois. Pastor S.L. Douglas, shout out to you guys. But learning how to be a servant leader was the very first thing that I learned. Being in ministry, going to serve, ushering, from ushering to cleaning up the church, to helping the mothers of the church get in and out of the sanctuary. Yeah, so.
Did you enjoy it at first, though, ushering and all of that?
I did not.
Right.
I did not enjoy it, but I wouldn't change it now being where I'm at. It was definitely eye-opening. It was definitely preparation to get to the point of being able to handle and know how to handle the holding the mic in your hand.
So you said missionary Baptist, right? Were you still in the Baptist church once God called you as a prophet? And what was that transition like, going from missionary Baptist to apostolic?
It was weird.
Hold on. First of all, how you going to answer for him and then ask him the question, but you answer part of it?
I'm doing the best I can right now.
Church to the apostolic. Okay, now go. I had to add that.
I'm trying to act like I don't know him. I'm gonna be quiet.
So that's my sister Tish. My background originally in ministry and in church, I had one side of the family, Church of God in Christ, and I had another side of the family, Baptist, and then another part, missionary Baptist. But that transition from being in a denomination to being apostolic and prophetic, it wasn't an easy transition. I lost some friends. I lost some family members in it. But ultimately, once you get into that revelation and that place and that relationship with the Father, you realize that there's more to it than the barriers that denomination creates. The religious practices and things that they do that separates the body of Christ. So once getting here and really having that understanding of his word and having that relationship with him, it became a lot easier.
I gotta ask, so what was the biggest eye opener when those people that you trusted and knew start acting funny and start acting weird? Because one quote I actually say a lot is that people don't keep it real no more, meaning that, like, I don't know why a lot of people change up, because I feel like, you know, Prophetess Tish could account. She's known me before Christ, before Pastor, and I feel like I'm still had the same heart and same character. It's just that I stopped doing certain things and I started bettering my life and I matured, which comes in place. But there's some people I feel like, and given just backstory of my question, that really just change up on you, just like y'all ain't never knew each other in the first place. So how was that experience for you? Because you did say that you lost some people, and I bet you they were church people.
Yeah, definitely some church people. It's their mindset. It's their belief. Some people will never have the mindset of Christ. Some people will never have the understanding of his wholeness, that his wholeness can bring on change, transformation. their mindsets limit how far they're going to believe. People don't believe that you can get healed by coming and laying on the altar. People don't believe that you can have miracle signs and wonder follow them. People don't believe in the supernatural. And so when their mindset are limited to those that they can't see that, they won't believe in it, then you're going to, once you experience, it's hard to go back into that environment of not doing it, not being around it, not seeing it happen. Mm-hmm. It comes down to whether or not do you want more? Do you want more presence of God, or do you just want what a denomination is giving you?
Mm-hmm. So I got to add something to that. So we're going to go deep because you did that little right turn down the block. So with dealing with church people, because one thing that I was in a room on Clubhouse, Prophet Tisha got me inching my way back onto Clubhouse. It was a predominant singer. His son had his own room. It was only six of them. I love those rooms because everybody don't care about who you are. They don't say, I yield the mic. You know, they don't say none of those things. We just talking. Everybody talking. He was talking about how in the church, a lot of times we put people because of the standard that's presented, we expect people to follow. And mm-hmm. people to be like, okay, you have integrity. You should treat, you know, people with love and kindness. You should, because while we come here every Sunday, if you're not listening to the actual word, you know, and when it comes down to it, I wanted to ask you, where do you see a lot of people doing? Do you feel like people are just people of habit and they're just going to church for just to go? Or do you feel like that there is showing a shift of people that is for God for real and they don't look like it, and the people that look like it ain't for God at all? What would you say about that?
Ooh, okay.
Don't filter your answer. It's Anointed Radio. This is a safe place.
All right. So with that being said, you have to realize church died a long time ago. I'm going to go there to that point. And why can I say that? Because my Bible tells me Jesus went to the temple and he flipped over the table. And he told them to get out of his father's house, for they were making it a mockery. Church became entertainment because we're no longer teaching the fundamentals of God's word. We're not giving the truth, unadulterated truth of his word to his people. That now we're allowing different spirits and demonic systems to come into place into the church that now allows people to feel like they're doing right when they're really not. Because if we truly end up dealing with self and we start dealing with our own issues, a lot of us will come out of circumstances and situations and problems that we're facing because we will truly have to get in a relationship with God instead of putting a man that God already said is not perfect, he's going to fall short of the stick on a pedestal and get before God, then you will see the difference between those that's true.
So you're saying, correct me if you're wrong, that a lot of people are being pacified in the church nowadays because they're not even following the basic commandments of, you know, showing love for each other, love thy neighbor as you love yourself, love God with all thy heart, mind. So, you know, the two greatest commandments people are struggling to follow. And, you know, it's funny because I preached at a church once about being in remedial classes. You know, what do we learn in kindergarten? You know, be nice to people. Don't hit nobody. Don't start no drama. You know, be in order. all these things, right? And then when we become adults, that's the first thing we revert to. But then we say, I still, you know, am holding the bloodstained banner without any remorse. And a preacher told me this, that there's a difference between somebody that sin and know that they're sinning compared to somebody that's sinning and they feel like they're not. And it goes back to what you were saying. A lot of people feeling like, oh, well, I could gossip because, you know, I'm doing correction. And it's really gossiping and it's really just tearing down. You know, there's a lot of things I feel like is twisted now where it's a face where people are saying, you know, I'm doing this because I love you or whatever. And then you looking like, I ain't, first of all, let's get real. A lot of Christian people are soft because in the streets, you did not accept a lot of this abuse that you took in the church. And people forget that God gave you a mind to remember your story because there's power in your testimony, right? So when it comes down to, I feel like a lot of times when we talk about pacifying, do you feel, and this is going to be deep, it's going to get you, do you feel that a lot of the people in leadership, because I never blame people in the congregation because the congregation is only allowed to do things based off what leadership allows. Do you feel like leadership is following Christ or are they following self-agenda?
You have some that is following Christ and you have some that's following self-agenda.
So what does that look like? I want that part. I knew you was going to say that. So I want to say, so what does that look like? Because I could be real. I know some real bona fide Christians and their ministry got 6 people. And I know some real demons in the pulpit that got millions. So it's just kind of like, what does that look like so the people can stop being like duped over to be like, okay, well, they have a lot of people, so they must be anointed, or, you know, well, they ain't got nobody because his word must not be, you know, power. I hadn't heard all these comments. So what does that look like, Prophet Brandon?
So what does that look like? You said something key. You said we got demons in the pulpit. We have to get away from looking at numbers. We have to get away at justifying ministry by numbers, by materialistic things. You can have the biggest sanctuary, the nicest church. Your pastor can be a multimillionaire. But the Bible says, how many are we leading to salvation? How many of your members in the congregation is truly saved? How many members are we truly giving discipleship to? How many members is truly getting connection and getting an understanding of the word? That they're edifying, that they're taking this back and they're applying it in their household. That they're seeing the wealth hit their household, or is it all going into their pastor's pocket? If we gonna get real, let's go there, because here's the reality of it. How many people, you go to church every Sunday, you pay your tithes and you pay your offering, and yet you're still sitting dealing with the same spiritual warfare issues that your great grandmother that was dealing with? How many people is still dealing with financial issues that can simply go, okay, let me say it this way. Is your ministry, is the church you're sitting in on a Sunday and Wednesday, truly edifying your household from the oldest person to the youngest person, that you're growing up and you're being better, not only spiritually, but naturally as well?
So I have to put another hard question. So with that, and I saw Miss Brittany, I'm going to be quiet after this, and I got all the hard questions out. So with that being said, do you feel that you could be able to identify? The reason I'm asking this is because this, and this, I should have known I had the gift of prophecy, because I used to say, God, if this person is really for real. I used to really go there. If he's really for real, he could be able to see exactly what I'm dealing with. And I mean, I was dealing with stuff. I had suicidal thoughts, lustful thoughts, all kind of things growing as a kid growing up. Saying this, I'm like, I'm in a church. This is supposed to be where you dwell. So you should be able to point out and be like, he needs prayer, right? Most of the time that I did that, I never got a person that actually came to me and prayed for me. They let me come in that door and right back out the same. Until I met one pastor, and I could say this, I love him to death. He got on my nerves, but I love him to death, Pastor Dr. Mario R. Howe. He was like a father to me, where he saw, and I said the same thing. God, if this person is for real, let him be able to see that I need prayer. And it was not the preaching. It wasn't the singing. It was to see that if I'm praying, because we serve the same God, hopefully everybody's serving the same God, then you should be able to hear my prayer and send the person my way. And I, going back to what I asked you, I feel that, and you could elaborate on this, I feel that a lot of people are not knowing who they labor among. And they come to church in routine. They go to conferences, but go to our conference, Prison of War in the Mind, June 2nd to the 4th. Yes. Yes. Ours is anointed. We'll be there. Amen. If you need prayer, I will. Hey, don't be saying that prayer, because I'll point you out. And I don't even know you. Amen. So, and going and doing these same routine things, especially after I kind of said something similar, that the way of church has definitely died since COVID, has shifted a lot of the old leaders, shifted a lot of the dynamic, shift what we knew of, especially coming out of COVID. Do you feel like that now it's a superiority complex where people are either among, or they feel like I can't take that burden of dealing with people because they burnt out, or, you know, what is it? Because there's a lot of, I be seeing, man, I posted, I'm going to throw a jab out there. It's kind of funny. I posted about the Bible, and I thought I had a lot of preacher friends, and not many people liked it. And I was like, y'all not going to talk to me about the Bible, but y'all talk about what do preachers talk about anymore? So it's kind of going back to, is there authentic leadership anymore? That yes. Leads people to Christ. And what does that MO, what does that persona, what does that really look like? Because there's somebody that's going to probably listen to this and be like, I've been asking that same thing, because I go to church after church and after church, and I'm tired of entertainment, because my life, I know I'm crazy enough to know that there's somebody out there that prayed just like me. Like, I know if I leave this place and nobody intervene, then it's open season.
So you spoke to a lot of things. One, being sensitive to the spirit was a key area of that. Because if you are a true fivefold leader, called and chosen by God, you have to be sensitive to the spirit to pick up on the sheep that's in your presence. The people that's in your presence, when they're pulling on that oil, on that anointing there, and they're needing that intervention. The second thing that I want to point out there, having the discernment, knowing how to identify, being able to identify an entertainment church versus a church that's really laboring for Christ. Because a church that's a leader that's truly laboring for Christ, it is going to point you back to Christ. I don't need you to build my platform. I need you to know God for yourself. I need you to believe in his word and allow his word digest it, live it out. It's is there truly authentic leaders that's out here doing the work? Yes. I can name you plenty of them. We got great leaders right here on this platform that I can sit here and wholeheartedly say they're doing the work of the Lord. But then there is some that is in it for the entertainment, is in it for the money, that's in it for the fame, and for the self-gloating of it. Because you will have contaminated spirits that will come around. What? Let me say it this way. Keep in mind, the devil was an angel before he was the devil. He got kicked out of heaven. Now watch this. He was the angel of worship.
Hold up. Oh man,
my mind. So he knows what church is supposed to sound like. He knows what it's supposed to look like. He knows what ministry is supposed to be presented. He knows what's going to attract people there. The question becomes: do you have your spiritual eyes on to discern what you're walking into? Some thinking they're walking into a hospital when you're really walking into a cage.
Wow.
And so here it is. We're at a crucial point in time because, and I'm gonna repeat what Bishop Jake said. Yes, church ministry leadership in the body of Christ has shifted over the decades. And what has happened is, and I'm going to simply say what Bishop Jake said that day. He said, we had giants that passed away and they got replaced by midgets.
Woo!
And why am I going to repeat it that way? Because it's true. Because we went from the unadulterated truth teaching. We taught spiritual warfare. We taught the biblical foundation of the Bible. We taught how to pray. We taught how to tarry on the altar. We taught discipleship. You didn't just say, go to the leader and say, oh, I'm called to preach. You didn't just pop up today and say, I'm a prophet, and then tomorrow you're an apostle. It was a process, and you was taught how to sit in that process. And what you see now, there's no process to it. There is no accountability. There is no integrity.
Time my mouth. Accountability.
There is no integrity to it. It's a number game now. Can I get 50 to 500 people to show up? And can I get all of them to give me $100 in this offering or in this tithe today? It's a show. And it's a mockery to the kingdom of God. So what you have seen over the time is you've seen giants go to fall to sleep. And they got replaced by midgets that had the ability to have some influence and charisma and know how to gain followers to listen. And they're misleading people, and if they're not misleading, they're bruising and hurting people. And then they're leaving the true remnant that's coming up to deal with those broken and hurt people while they're on to their next victim. And so simply I'll say to end this part is simply this. When are you going to wake up and put on your true spiritual God-given eyes and see where you are? Because some of you may wake up and find that you're in a cage and it's time to kick the lock off of it and get out of it.
Go ahead, Britt.
what I was going to say kind of passed. But if I can remember to go back to the there is more conversation that you were having before, and even the conversation now. A lot of it is showboating. A lot of it is entertainment. But I always speak about the traditional church because that's what I came through. And when I go back home and attend church, that's the church I return to. And I think part of it is, especially in traditional churches, local churches, small churches, is that the whole thing about there is more. You don't see, or I'll speak for myself, growing up and even when I go back, you don't see healing. You don't see miracles. You don't see deliverance. You don't see prophesying. You really almost don't hear speaking in tongues. And I was always wondering, like, I always knew coming up in church, like, something is missing. Like, something is not there. And I feel like that's part of my purpose, too. God put me in that. Those situations so that I would desire more, so that I would ask him for more, so that I would look for more. But in those churches, I feel like just not even traditional church, let's say all churches, I feel like we have a bad habit of stopping at salvation. And after salvation, especially going back to traditional church, that's all you hear them preach. And it's salvation, it's Jesus dying, and then the resurrection, and then accept Jesus. But what is it once you accept Jesus? Let me know, like when you were talking about, how does it benefit your house? How does it benefit you? Like, tell me, how does that benefit me now that I have accepted Jesus, right? Now that I am his child, God's child, now that I belong to him, what does that, you don't really go into the benefits of that. You don't go into what I automatically gain, what I automatically get, things that I don't have to pray for because they're automatically mine because I belong to him now. You don't, there's none of that. And I came to this conclusion when I was talking to God about it. It's either the pastors or the leaders truly don't know. They don't know that there is more. They don't know the benefits themselves that they have. So therefore, they're not teaching it to us. Right. Or
I'm going to add on to that before you get to that. They're renegades. A lot of people that did not sit down in that process, and they felt like I could go and leave instead of sit under my pastor and go through the process of mentorship and face accountability, became renegades. And it's like going to school in college and only doing your freshman year and saying, well, now I could be a professor. And the only thing you have worth is your freshman year worth of knowledge, instead of actually knowing that process of sitting and being under somebody, That was what was trying to prepare you. But so many people are impatient and don't like accountability. They turn into renegades and they go and open up churches, and they only could go as far as what they have learned.
Well, I wouldn't even say that all of them are renegades. You know,
a lot of them are.
It's like, you know, passed down. Like these older men, like back at home, traditional, they're all older men. You don't see a lot of preachers come in and out sometimes, like within the Methodist church, you know how you go to the little conference, you get a new pastor next year, you just never know. But at once many churches back home, it's like they are older men, but it's like they're stuck in this one place. But then you don't know who they came under and who they actually sat under, who may not have known themselves, who may have been the renegade, but they taught this pastor who's not a renegade. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just kind of like, so either they don't know what they have themselves, so they don't teach it, or I hate to say it, but it's true. Some people just enjoy a sick church. Some people enjoy that they need you. Like, you need me. You need to come to me for prayer. Like, I'll never forget, my aunt has passed now, but, you know, she had a little, you know, some health issues years ago. It wasn't too serious. But after church, a member of the church prayed for her, okay? Prayed for her, as you should. Pastor got wind of it, went off. Don't nobody pray for nobody else but me in this church. Do you understand? So it's like you enjoy feeling needed. You enjoy wanting people to come to you for prayer. You can't go to anybody else for prayer, you know? And so it's either that. Either they really don't know, Or you enjoy a sick church. You enjoy a sick people. And that's part of the problem with the church too. Like you stop at, I really wish traditional churches would like get it together. You stop at salvation. Like you cannot stop there. Jesus is rose. Now what does that mean? I accepted him. I'm in the kingdom. What does that mean? Not that, because God is not waiting for you to get to heaven to give you everything that you need. He's not waiting for you. Like, what? Here, while I'm here, give me my best life. Tell me what my best life looks while I'm here. And that's all I had to say. There you go.
You know what I keep hearing, though? You know, like at the end of Boys in the Hood, they've like, either you don't, they don't know, they don't care, or they really, you know, that, and that's what it is. But I'm going to say something, and Brandon, I need you to keep your mouth closed once I say it. Because I already know it's like a fire starter for it. Me and him had this conversation before. And I think some of the thing is not so much of the renegades and the tradition. It's that they don't want to pass the mantles to the younger ones, to the younger generations, the upcoming generations. You see, he had to mute his mic, right? And so then once we actually start moving out of tradition, in religion, because we know it's more, we're experiencing more, we're encountering more in our one-on-one personal time, because we're actually trying to figure out, like, we're not just following God just because our grandma followed him. We're actually having these real encounters. Yeah, encounters in the encountering supernatural type stuff, are actually seeing God move on a different level. We're actually witnessing and experiencing God outside of a box. And so once we actually begin to start coming in and we begin to move, it's like, whoa, little girl, hold on, you got too big for your britches. Or it's like, whoa, son, hold on, what you doing? Like, you don't move this. And they don't want to take the time to mentor us. Or so for one, because they see us as a threat. And the other reason is because they don't like the change. And so, and then now you have so many people now that have actually, they have not been brought up. Why? Because it ain't nobody there to raise them. It's so many orphans out here in the spiritual realm or whatever, because we haven't had anybody to mentor our mother, our father, us the way that they should, for one, because of jealousy, or two, because they don't even understand the way that we move, because we are remnants. But so the ones that are he's bringing up, we understand that he's doing something for a time for our people, and they want to keep us stuck. Even the ones that are not heavy in tradition or heavy in religion, they still do not like the movement of the new ones that are coming up. And so, and then they'll try to minimize or try to devalue our ministries, because we're at the point of where we realize, wait a minute, it's not about brick and mortar. It's not about the four walls. And so once we start doing ministry outside through social media and doing actually carrying out the Great Commission, going therefore going outside of just four walls and going like just this right here, this is ministry within itself. And we see that. We understand that. And some people do not. And so then they begin to minimize what it is and how we move, because we move differently than what they were called to move. They moved a certain way for their time, for their period. We understand that majority of the generations now walk around like this all day. And so since they walk around like this all day, we actually have to leave the 99 that's in the brick and mortar and go out and get the ones that have left the church. In order to do that, we have to go into the social media. We have to go into, and so now they're saying, oh, well, who raised you? And you know, who's covering you and this, that, and another. Yes, I have a covering, but just because I'm not brick and mortar don't mean that I don't have a relationship. I might be in my word, might be in worship. I might be in prayer. I might get more word than what you do just because you just go on Wednesdays and Sunday. I'm gonna be quiet, but Brandon, behave, because we like out of time.
No, hold on. I just wanted to address what you were saying about this is ministry. This is ministry. And every one of us have a virtual ministry, and we learned how virtual ministry really opened up some things. Have y'all ever saw that hashtag? I learned more on the internet than what I learned in school. There was a hashtag showing that so many things that we did not know, but somebody discovered it. One thing I want to say is there was people, and I've never said this on record, but I'm going to say it now because you brought it up, that did not believe in this platform, did not know why it still flourished, did not know why it kept going. They called it that. Oh, my goodness. I used to it burned me up, that little radio show, and all kind of things. And they wondered, how do you keep doing this? They wondered how you could do that. They imitated it. They tried to make it. And at the end of the day, you could tell ministries by its fruit, by the consistency. Because a lot of times you could tell a true ministry based off how consistent they are. If they're not consistent, you kind of already seeing what kind of fruit they have. They sometimey, and God's never been sometimey. So I wanted to say, yes, and I wanted to say this in encouraging for somebody out there. Somebody might say, oh, how is your little business? How is your little show? How is this little, your little ministry? Don't take it like that. Look at it to say, obviously, I got them threatened. Pray for them and keep moving. Don't, a lot of times we go ahead and sometimes that pity party and be like, well, people hating on me. And I checked myself because I've done it too. But at the end of the day, God blessed you and God is the one still blessing you. So pray for him and keep moving and brush the dirt off your feet. Prophet Brandon, go ahead.
So I'm gonna be good because Tish told me to be good. Let's go Bible for a second. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because you have rejected my knowledge. Rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priests for me because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. Done. Second thing, you want to talk about brick and mortar. Brick and mortar. Where was Jesus' first miracle?
Right.
At a wedding.
It was outside.
I said something earlier, and I'm going to stand by it, and every theologian, seminary, doctor this, doctor that, you could come and argue me up and down. Jesus killed the brick and mortar. When he went in and he flipped the table over and said, you're making a mockery of my father's house. His miracles was performed outside. You want to talk about sitting, watch this, the 12 disciples sat at the foot of Jesus himself. They watched Jesus perform miracle signs and wonders as they traveled with him. So watch this. And when he left, before he left, he told them, you can do this too, because you are my sons. So here it is. Jesus was sent to break the religious cycles, the tradition of the traditional church. Here, again, you want to argue it? This is why Jake said it. We had giants die and they was replaced by midgets. Those that do not obey God, you will be replaced. Those that is not in alignment, you will be replaced. You cannot mishandle God's people. You cannot mistreat his people. You cannot mishandle his remnant. You want to talk about the ones that's sitting and won't pass the mantle? Hold on to it. Because God will create another mantle. You don't have to pass it. Because here's the reality of it. You can die, but you can't take that mantle with you. You can die and you can't take the hundreds of thousands of dollars that's in your bank account. If you go from Genesis to Revelation and from Revelation to Genesis, and I'm trying to be good, Tish, because you know there's so much I could say. Tradition, religion, denomination was never mentioned to be part of the kingdom of God. It's through relationship. Now, what I will say this about the traditional church. why people continue to go in routine. A lot of people, and a lot of people gonna get upset when I say this. People don't like to deal with their own mess. People don't like to deal with their issues, their problems. And so what we do is we find a coping mechanism, something to cope and try to forget the problem, the issue, the circumstances, because we, instead of dealing with it and heading it face on and defeating it and claiming victory over it, it's best for us to try to figure out a way to go around it. It's best for us to not even deal with it. Let me brush it off to the back and not deal with it. And so what has happened is people became comfortable with hearing salvation, the message of salvation, the message of grace, the message of favor, the message, if you sow this, God is going to bless you, because they have literally turned it into a coping device, because they don't want to come. You don't want to get teaching about spiritual warfare. You don't want to deal with why you're dealing with the spirit of depression. Why are you dealing with the spirit of unforgiveness? Why are you dealing with the spirit of envy, jealousy? The list goes on and on. They don't want to deal with it because they don't want to be the one on the floor. They don't want to be the one coughing up stuff. They don't want to be the one to break the generational curses because my mama did it, so I'm going to do it. They'll rather continue the cycle, because it's easier to be in a cycle than to break a cycle in their mindset, in their perspective. The altar was created to alter your life. And it doesn't take a leader to be there for God to alter your life. The question becomes, do you have a relationship with God, or are you living your relationship through a man that you put on pedestal? I'm done, Jay, because I feel heat in my back and I'm trying to be good.
And I'm going to say what that is and what you just said. Break it down, give you a word to grasp it. It's called Christian codependency. It's when that Christian that you look to is gone, you're no longer following the walk of a Christian. And actually, one thing that I've loved, if you read your Bible, and let's talk about it, Jesus was the people of the way. And if we look at the Bible, he said to be a disciple. It never said to be a Christian. Christian was actually a derogatory term that the Romans called the people of the way. And people say, you got to be a good Christian. Well, that's kind of like saying, let me stop. But you could kind of understand what that means. You're supposed to be a disciple. Pick up your cross and follow me. That's what the Bible says. And you're supposed to die daily. A lot of people are not following discipleship. They're just okay with the title being a Christian. And that's something that we have to understand, is once you follow discipleship, first of all, in discipleship, you got to fix you to even disciple. If you pay attention nowadays, you don't see many people fixing themselves to prepare themselves to be in the pulpit nowadays. Back in the day, that was serious. It was like, hey, you need to, whatever you got to do, fast, pray real quick, do what you have to do to get right, because spirits transfer. And that's why a lot of people are still in sick churches, Brittany, because that same sickness is in that person that's speaking over their lives. But if they don't pray and get that off of them, what they do that people don't know starts to go into the congregation. But that's a whole nother Bible study. But Brandon is an author. He's dope. He from Virginia. He from Chicago. He's from Chicago, but he lived in Virginia, and he probably ain't been in Chicago in like ever. So he live in Virginia, Newport News. If you want to check him out, definitely look up Unity Faith. And his social media is right there. How many books you got?
So I have co-authored 4 books, and I am releasing my first one, a solo book, this year. It's actually coming out very soon, so make sure you follow me.
Amen. So make sure you go follow Prophet Brandon. He is a wealth of knowledge. He'll be able to show you the pathway to Jesus. So definitely go follow him. And, you know, you got a Cash App.
Cash App is $UnityFaith20.
Amen. If you want to sow a seed into him, definitely go and sow a seed. And we're going to do it different before we close out. But before we close out, we want to make sure everybody knows, share, like, subscribe. If you're on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe so that you could be able to get all of the notifications for when we go live. If you're on LinkedIn, follow us. If you're on Twitch, follow us. If you're on Twitter, follow us. We're all just follow us, share, like, and subscribe. Download the Anointed Radio app so that you can have where the centralized information is. If you ever want any information, the Anointed Radio app has it all, from the show, from TV, everything, Anointed Radio, and check us out at anointedradio.com. So I want to do this different. I felt like this God definitely shifted the way we do it normally. So as I want everybody to do parting words, because I feel like somebody that was listening tonight is going to get something from these parting words. So Prophet Tish, I'm going to start with you because your eyes were the biggest. I had to get her back. She said get out earlier, and that had me dead. So
parting words is allow people to sit at your feet without you wiping your feet on them. That's it.
Amen.
Brittany.
I'm still kind of choking over here. what I would say is just that to know that there is more. There is more to this walk with Christ. There is more for you spiritually. All you have to do is ask God to show you. When I asked him to show me there was more, he led me to a prophet on YouTube turning a baby in a woman's stomach. And boom, there it was. So there's definitely more. Just ask him and he will definitely show you.
All right. I'm going to have you, Prophet Brandon, close out. So one thing I would say is, first I want to do an announcement. If you guys didn't know, put an announcement that Miss Brittany Marley last show with us will be in 2 weeks. So definitely go and send your favorite clip, send your favorite highlight, your all the good things. Go show some love to Miss Brittany on her social media page. Tell her don't go, but if it's God, she gotta go. But my parting words would be, do not dim your light. And don't downgrade your spirit, because you could be a giant with a midget mentality. Prophet Brandon, your turn.
Sir, you stole my marks. I hear you, Father. His word said he knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. His love is always with you. When he created you, when he was birthed out into the world, his love is still there. Grab onto it. Don't lose hold of it. Don't lose sight of it. He's with you through it all, because he's your Alpha and your Omega.
Amen. Make sure you guys follow, like, share, and check us out on the podcast where you can see this episode if you're just coming in, and all of the previous podcasts. Much love, peace, and soul. R.I.P. John Cornelius. Bye, y'all.